It's time once again for electrification. We've changed the name here. We still have the sensible heating and cooling icon over the top and everything going on, but we're changing the name of the podcast here just because it seems to make more sense. Corey Lopez, Phil Jensen here, and Happy New Year to you.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year to you, too. Good morning.
Yeah, this is it's interesting as we come into the new year. Everybody talks about the new laws that are out there. There's plenty of things you have to deal with in the HVAC industry.
Right.
Things for the better in some cases, but that seems to be what everybody is talking about as we come into January 2023.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of buzz around it. There's been some major legislation that's been passed, and people really want to know about it, what's going on.
It's not just on the state side of things. There's local governments and agencies that are looking at it can get confusing. People start looking things up like that because there's rebates, there's incentives, there's we're trying to push people to electrify. It could be a little much and give you a headache, can it?
Yeah, I know that I'm confused a lot of the time, and there's still a lot of uncertainty about the particulars. And what they've done is they've passed legislation that kind of paints a broad brushstroke as far as what we're trying to accomplish by incentivizing the electrification of people's homes. But those details are being worked out, and you know, over the next few months, I'm sure we'll get more clarity around it. But you know, people shouldn't hold back about wanting to do things, because I'm sure that all these things will be worked out in the next, you know, couple of 3 months.
It is. I think it's important what you said. Don't let confusion on potential money saving that you're looking at stop you from at least getting through the process of here's what we want, here's what's best for our homes. You can always get that set up early, right?
Yeah, there's basically three or four layers, and the first layer is the federal tax credits, and those are actual credits off your tax bill. So one of the confusions is that about how that's applied, but I mean, if you have a tax bill that's $10,000 and you get a $5,000 tax credit, then your tax bill would only be $5,000 after the credit. So that one's pretty straightforward. The state's also done a tax credit that's 10%. So the state of Colorado will do a tax credit against state taxes. And then also Colorado's made it so that there's no sales tax on a geothermal equipment or air source heat pumps that, you know, subject to state taxes. That state tax, sales tax, does not need to be applied to equipment purchased. So that's another benefit. And then on top of that, Xcel Energy, United Power, some of the utilities are offering rebates, and those vary from place to place. And then even some local jurisdictions are jumping in, and like Denver has a rebate that has limited money, so it goes away pretty quickly. Last year it went away very quickly. This year I suspect the same thing will happen, but that's active. And then Golden has a rebate, and Boulder used to, but I think they've done away with that. And then, so it's good to check on the county's websites too and see if any of the cities or counties that you live in are offering any sort of incentive to, you know, do some kind of electrification.
It's a huge amount of savings.
Yeah, with geothermal, it's crazy. So it's 40% between the state and the federal tax credits. And so, you know, if a system is installed for $50,000, then literally you get $20,000 back in tax credits. And so that's, you know, assuming that you're paying that much in taxes, but if you don't in any given year, I think that there's rules that allow that money to be rolled over to the next tax year. So there's, yeah, just a ton of incentive to do these kinds of things.
So I'm looking at a article here. It's for the Longmont Leader, essentially. So a blog or online newspaper that you can find. Just the statistics. This is just from 2020. Just to give us an idea, we talk about electrification and how things are changing. 11% of Colorado households are all electric right now.
Wow, that's really, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's a decent number. 82% used natural gas in 2020.
Okay.
That is compared to 26% of households nationwide completely powered by electricity.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm surprised that Colorado is actually behind the curve on that.
Yeah, and I'm actually not surprised by that.
Natural gas is such a big deal here, though.
Well,
isn't it?
Yeah, so we're close to lots of sources of natural gas, and natural gas is, per BTU, much less expensive, which is why electrification has not caught on in this area the way it has in other parts of the country. So the other factor is the technology of heat pumps, really until recently, was not that great in cold weather. And so places like Texas and Florida and places like that used heat pumps extensively because you didn't need as much heat. But since the temperatures here get so much colder, heat pumps weren't really well equipped to be able to deal with this kind of climate, but now there's just been vast improvement in, you know, how the heat pumps operate, and especially in the last 5 to 6 years. So there's, you know, heat pumps in this area still have kind of a bad rap, and I think people are starting to wake up to the idea that, you know, now the heat pumps are much better than they used to be, and so, yeah, it makes a huge difference.
It's the surprising thing to me, I guess, is, and I guess Colorado has just kind of turned a little more progressive, really just over the last 20 years, you could kind of feel the shift. And this is more along the lines of politics. It's not to say that, you know, Republicans don't want things to, you know, get better as well and still look at carbon footprints and things like that, but Democrats are more aggressive about it. And so that's where I was surprised by only 11%, but then it makes sense. You say the sources, you know, for natural gas are so close to Colorado, it's just, it's a natural, and as you said, the technology hadn't quite caught up to what everybody wanted to do, and now I feel like we're starting to, that pendulum is starting to swing back the other way now.
Yeah, it's funny, I have kind of a funny story about that, because we have a good friend who, you know, is very much on the right side of the political spectrum and very much a believer in oil and gas, but when he bought his house, he put solar panels on, and then he was asking me about heat pumps, and we put a heat pump in for him, and now his bill for heating the house is much less than it used to be, and he, you know, so even though he's, you know, not necessarily an advocate for the green spectrum, he was very much in favor of helping his pocketbook become a little bit fatter. So, you know, that worked out pretty well for him. And, you know, and so there's definitely some pragmatic reasons to approach this also.
Absolutely. If you can't afford to put in an entire geothermal system, heat pumps are a good way to start. I mean, you can do something now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think that's the other sort of misinformation that's out there. So geothermal is by far the most efficient, and so that's also the most expensive because of the drilling costs associated with it. So that's been slower to catch on, although, you know, that's probably going to change now that the state's chipping in another 10% of a tax credit. The next step down from there is air source heat pumps, but we have air source heat pumps. Bryant has a heat pump that's up to 25 SEER efficiency, which is really getting close to geothermal efficiency. The drawback to those is that during cold weather, the efficiency does drop off in the capacity, so they, you know, they're still not quite as efficient as geothermal, but they're about half the cost of geothermal. So the equalizer there is the tax credits, because the air source heat pumps don't have as good of tax credits as the geothermal does. So, you know, if you get into the high end of the air source heat pump spectrum, if you don't want to tear up your yard with drilling, or you just can't drill, or, you know, there's a lot of reasons why geothermal wouldn't make sense for some people, so then we can offer an air source heat pump that's getting very close to geothermal efficiency levels.
Again, the pendulum is starting to swing back the other way with the technology, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this stuff was not available 10 years ago. There's inverter drive technology, which is able to speed up and slow down the operation of the compressor and the entire system. There's a lot of communication that goes on between the thermostat and the indoor unit and the outdoor unit. So, you know, all those things have to work in concert. So it's fairly, you know, it's fairly technologically driven. So you have to be, you know, working with companies or a company like us that is very much about training their people and wants to make sure that the systems are installed correctly, because you can't just, you know, flip a switch and turn these things on and expect them to heat to do the job correctly. So we want to make sure that we're installing them correctly. But the good news is that once they're installed correctly, then we have very little problem with them.
Well, and if there is ever a problem, or it just comes to yearly maintenance, that's
right.
Something that Sensible can do easily.
Well, so just one little, fact about the technology is that the guys carry around little chips in their service toolkits, and so when we go out and do an annual maintenance on some of these thermostats, we actually insert the chip with the latest and greatest software upgrades, and then that way, the thermostats are up to date, and you have the software upgrades, and so then we go in and can do diagnostics and look at the systems through our laptops or tablets. And when I was in the Bryant convention last fall, they actually had VR headsets that we could be trained on and train technicians on. So, all this stuff is really advancing very quickly, like any sort of computer technology is.
Yeah, it really is amazing. This is a good time to remind you that's listening, make sure you subscribe to us. You can find us on Spotify. We're going to be on other platforms. It's easy to find, actually, just by simply going to the Sensible website, sensibleheat.net. We just talk about some of the latest things that are happening. And if it gets to be, you feel like there's questions you want, you can certainly, we don't ask for comments very much on the podcast, because I just think it's easier if you go to sensibleheat.net and you call and talk to somebody. 720-876-7166. You can email and contact. There are virtual estimates that are available if you want to get started on something already and it's hard to get through. It's not to say that at this time period right now we're busy, but we're not over busy, right?
Right. Yeah. Best time for us to be able to get to people quickly is usually from about the end of November through March or April. And then after April, it just gets, we get really backed up. So this is a great time to be able to take advantage of some of the things that are going on. Especially with geothermal, if somebody puts off the project until middle of the summer, the driller is actually backed up probably till the end of the year. So what we try to do is get people that are interested in doing this to go in as early in the year as possible, because then we can, really focus in on the project and do a very focused installation. And that's a great way to do it. In the middle of the summer and late in the year, we're always scrambling. We can get to everybody, but it just is a little more effort on our part.
Let's talk traditional HVAC. And the only reason I say that is you're a business owner. You understand what the economy's like right now. It's hard to get people off the mark. We understand that. I want to do this stuff. It's important to maintain what you have right now,
mm-hmm.
Fix what you have right now.
Right.
It's not to say that when a Sensible technician comes in could say, you could do this and you can do this and you can do this. But it's important that you have something working, because you don't want to have one of those, you guys, I remember being a part of this family for a while now. Somebody in the family was always on call, it felt like, or you were going to get a phone call over Thanksgiving or over Christmas or over New Year's because somebody's heat went out. Mm-hmm. You got to try to find a way to avoid that, even if you're not upgrading yet. If you're not there yet, you could start the process.
Well, and that's really what's unique about our customers is that, you know, we have a lot of very good planners that are our customers. And so they want to electrify. They're not really sure where to start. And so in some cases, they've done a bunch of research, and they know what they want to do, and so they want to get the process going right away, and they're, you know, they'll get something done within a few weeks. We have other customers that will take 2 or 3 years to plan. We just are talking to one customer right now that, you know, they called us 2 years ago. I had a conversation with him, and he didn't really want to start the process then. He decided that he wanted to save up for the work that he wanted to do, and he just called us again recently and said, okay, I'm ready to go. So now we're talking to him about the nuts and bolts of the geothermal system that he wants to put in. But in the meantime, of course, you know, he's got a system that needs to be maintained. And so we're big advocates of making sure that the equipment that you have now, the gas equipment, is running as efficiently as possible. And of course, you know, I've been in the industry for a long time, and so gas furnaces and boilers and those kinds of things are something that we're very, very good at. We also know when it's time to retire that equipment, and so our technicians are trained to, you know, give advice. And, you know, we're not a pushy company. We don't want to push things on people that they don't need or don't want. But what we do want to do is we want to make sure that they understand what their options are, and you know, talk about time frames to be planning ahead. And so it's really important to make sure that the traditional equipment that we work on is working to its best ability, because that also goes with our philosophy of, you know, just trying to be as efficient as possible in our energy usage.
It's good for peace of mind if you just know that your furnace is working correctly.
Yeah, and it's not just the operation of it, it's the safety. We do have one customer right now that's got a pretty bad crack in their heat exchanger, and we've been trying to communicate the importance of that, but it's not easy to do because the furnace is still working, but it's not really safe to operate, and yet they need heat, and so we're advocating that they at least replace the furnace with a new gas furnace. But, you know, so it's, you know, carbon monoxide is not something you want to mess with, and even though, you know, in a safely operating gas furnace, it's not a factor. If it's not operating safely, then, you know, it's something that should be addressed right away. And so our technicians are really trained to look for those kinds of things to make sure that, you know, they're doing what's right for the customer. And, you know, we can't force customers to do something that they don't want to do. But, you know, in this case, you know, we really feel like it's a safety concern.
I feel like it's a good time to also let folks know they can finance.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point, because we do have different financing options. Our favorite is hearth financing, because they deal directly with the customer. And lending concept where you know, you can do a soft credit check. There's no hit on your credit rating to do that. And there's 14 lenders on the program. They have a wide variety of programs. Our recent customer applied, and they had something like 50 offers from these 14 different lenders because they had good credit. And, you know, they had some 0% programs. What a lot of people don't understand about these 0% interest finance programs is that the business has to pay a very large percentage of their job cost to the lending agency. So, for example, a 5-year 0% interest program costs about 14% of the cost of the job. So we really try to avoid that because, you know, we want to be transparent with our customers and help them understand where their money is going. And, you know, we just feel like Hearth does a really great job of being transparent about, you know, how the programs are set up.
What's down the road here? I know you keep an eye on rebates, incentives, and things like that. But have you heard? Well, you've got to hear. I hear the rumblings. Gas bad, electrification good, and it seems to be turning that way in the legislature. Louisville's a good example of a city that says, and again, not saying gas is bad, but we should do better and electrify. And more cities, counties, state of Colorado is starting to look that way now.
Yeah, and I guess I would respectfully disagree that gas is bad, because we know that we have to be aware of our environment. We know that we have to be aware of doing, you know, what we can to reduce carbon footprint, and technology is changing. I think that, moving towards electrification is an important step, and so anything that we can do as a society to reduce our dependence on carbon fuels, then I think we'll be, or carbon-based fuels, we'll be much farther ahead as a planet. But I think that, we're in a stage in our industrial development that we can really start to be aware of the impact that we're having on the environment and do things to mitigate that. One of the things that I really like is, for example, Xcel Energy's initiative is that they want to be 80%, they want to be producing electricity, 80% of their electricity using carbon-free methods by 2030, and they want to be doing that 100% by 2050. So what that means is that instead of using coal, instead of using natural gas to produce electricity, they want to be using wind, they want to be using solar, they want to be using hydro. Even nuclear power is starting to make a comeback. And then lately in the news, there's been a lot of buzz around this fusion technology that's starting to come to light. But, that they're saying that that's probably 30 to 50 years down the road. So in the meantime, there's just a lot of alternative ways to produce electricity. And right now, it's kind of surprising to me, is that their Xcel's grid overall, I think, is at about 38 to 40% renewables that are producing electricity. So that's a huge improvement to where it was even 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is getting better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it'll be out by far.
There's more options with the new technology that's out there.
And one of the other things I'm a huge advocate for is conservation. So when I'm talking to people about, any of these heat pump technologies, the other thing I really, strongly suggest and recommend is for them to do a energy audit of their homes. And if you go to Xcel's website, you can look up insulation contractors, and they do a blower door test and a thermal imaging, and anything that you can do to seal your house up to make it more energy efficient is just going to help not just your energy bill, but your comfort levels as well. So I think the energy audit, most companies charge between $350 to $500 for that. And Xcel, I believe, is doing a $200 rebate on that. So it just makes sense. It's almost nothing to get that done. And then you can really know, what you can attack to be able to make the house more energy efficient.
Boy, we should leave it at that, particularly since we're going to see more snow.
Yeah.
I've already seen a lot of snow.
Yeah, no, it was cold in December, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's incredible. You want to find out more information? Certainly, you found us through the podcast, sensibleheat.net. You can find the podcasts, all of them, and go back to the ones that we've had on before. A lot of things that we talk about are already within the information that we have on our blogs at sensibleheat.net, and click on the blog space there to get more information. That includes anything about electrification, anything about maintenance, anything about rebates, anything about the sensible culture, which we haven't talked a lot about, but you kind of get a sense of it when you hear Phil and I talk about everything that Sensible is able to do. All of it's on our website there. We invite you to make sure you subscribe, and we'll talk to you next month on electrification. You like the new name, electrification?
I do. I think that that's good, and I'll bet we come up with even some more, even more creative things to call it in the future.
I know. I know. I, we've got some. We'll spin it around in our head and figure it out. Thanks for listening, everybody. For Phil Jensen, I'm Corey Lopez. This has been Electrification here and Sensible Heating and Sensible Heating and Cooling and SensibleHeat.net.